Greetings once again, America. My name is Doug McBurney, and you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the World View. It is the Weekly World View. This is the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do focus on the events of the week through the lens of original thought, and it's so good to have you back aboard as we get into the, well, the news of the day. I have a bit of a sore throat and a cold and body aches and everything else that accompanies the final snowstorm of the winter, hopefully. But daylight savings time has come, and I like daylight savings time because I'm not much of a morning person. There's very little chance that I'll be waking up before sunrise. So I like it just fine. Had quite a fine time. Denver Bible Church this morning. Went to lunch with some friends after church, as we're wont to do quite often. And one of our good friends, Russ, he's moving up to Alaska. He's moving back to Alaska to be closer to family, closer to his mom, who's as healthy as a horse, but, you know, she's getting older, so Russ wants to go up there, live closer to his mom. And we were talking about that as our waitress was waiting on us. Russ mentioned he was going to Wasilla or possibly Fairbanks. And our waitress said, "Oh, Alaska? Wow, is it like summer there?" At which point our 11-year-old kind of gave her a strange look, and she nudged me a little later, and she said, "Dad, isn't Alaska in the northern hemisphere?" I said, "Don't ask her what the northern hemisphere is, because you'll just embarrass her." Unfortunately, her public school was showing, and she was a fine waitress all the way around, though, besides her ignorance of geography. But a fine time was had by all. And in honor of Russ, Russ wrote a song, believe it or not. Yeah, you remember we did a story a couple of weeks ago. The story was by author Connor Sheets in the International Business Times, and it was surrounding the story about the controversy that erupted when Colorado Democratic State Representative Jose Salazar made comments arguing that students shouldn't have access to guns to protect themselves. Well, we had a bit of fun with the story in general, because it was so outrageous and ridiculous. But also, we had a bit of fun with the author, Connor Sheets, over at the International Business Times. With, now, Connor, is that a boy or a girl? That's probably a boy, right? We think it's a boy. Anyway, he had a slight misinterpretation of the term pop a round into someone. And he wrote pop around, pop around. So Russ wrote, "Doug, while listening to you describe Representative Salazar's comments about women popping off rounds, or popping around, as you noted, in the article that was picked up by the Denver Post, I was reminded, Doug, of a girlfriend I had. I think it was back in the 50s. She was the younger sister of Runaround Sue, and she went by the name of Pop Around Sue. I think she was exactly the type of woman that Salazar was talking about. In fact, I wrote a song about it," says Russ. Now, this is not the best week for me to be trying to sing Russ's song, but it's based on an old favorite that I happen to be extremely familiar with, having grown up in my formative years listening to a lot of 50s bebop and rock and roll. And Russ penned the lyrics, "Here's My Story, Doug. It's sad but true. It's about a girl that I once knew. She took my love, then popped around into every single guy in town. Pop, pop, whoa, pop, pop." Can y'all keep that going? "Whoa, pop, pop, whoa, pop, pop, pop." I don't know if I can do this. I have a sore throat is the deal. Yeah. A pop, pop, She'll pop around in your leg, pop. You'll be wearing a peg, a pop. She'll be making you big, ah. And boy, if you get too near, whoa, she'll pop around behind your ear. Ooh, if you don't want to limp like I do, oh, keep away from pop around Sue. I said, hey, hey, whoa, hey, hey, oh, hey. Can y'all keep that going? Oh, hey, ah, ba, 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 ba. I guess that's about it. All right. That was, I wouldn't have done that, except that it was in honor of my friend Russ, who's headed up to Alaska. And who knows, he may have a songwriting career ahead of him up there. I told him when he gets to Wasilla to to look up, what's that? Who's that girl who was so embarrassingly dumb when she was interviewed by Glenn Beck? I thought he was going to walk off the set. Palin, Sarah Palin. I saw Glenn Beck interview her when she first became a correspondent or a contributor there on Fox News. Every question he asked her, it looked like it was the beginning of a geography exam for our waitress at the restaurant. She just looked so clueless. I thought he was going to walk off the set. Anyway, I told him to look her up. And, well, just look her up, I guess. I was going to say something derogatory, but I know that so many of our listeners are fans of Ms. Palin that I don't want to offend anyone. So let me go to Michelle Obama. That's Barry Ho's M.O. You all hate her. You love to hate her. I know I won't offend anybody by making derogatory comments about Michelle Obama. So I want to open with an article that finally vindicates my opinion about M.O.'s fashion sense. This is from the New York Times, picked up by Politico. Designer Vivienne Westwood apparently does not approve of First Lady Michelle Obama's wardrobe. She told the New York Times, well, they asked her a question. You must love our First Lady, Vivienne. She's famous for recycling her clothes. And Vivienne Westwood, fashion designer, responded, don't talk about her. It's dreadful what she wears. And the New York Times says, what? Ms. Westwood says, I don't want to talk about it, really. I can't. She's a very nice looking lady, but it's a non-starter regarding clothes that suit her. And then she goes on. Now, I'm not familiar with Vivienne Westwood, but I can tell you this. She's finally spoken the truth. And now the floodgates will be open and we'll all be free to criticize Michelle Obama's horrible fashion sense. Ms. Westwood, by the way, has now hired private security. She's been advised not to travel to Chicago, and her accountants have advised her to get her tax documents from the past 7 years in order. So there you have it.
Really?
Well, no, I made that all up. But, no. But if she does listen to the show, she may want to... She may want to take a little advice, at least as far as the tax documents go. Make sure that everything's in order. All right, now, from the Don't Worry, Be Happy file, this is from CNS News, a fantastic news source, by the way. The Congressional Budget Office, they say, has set a record for the most money the government has ever taken in. That's right, it's in its latest budget and economic update. The Congressional Budget Office forecasts federal revenue in 2013 will be higher than the former record back in 2007 before the beginning of what has been called the Great Recession. Government revenues had fallen during the recession. However, federal revenues have been recovering since the recession ended in June 2009. So apparently that must be how the ruling class decides a recession is over. Revenue to the government begins to increase again. Well, the recession must have ended sometime around June of 2009. So that's from the Don't Worry, Be Happy file. Everything's going to be fine, folks. Government revenue is at record highs. So don't worry. Be happy. Yeah. Now, from the politics file, in a story pulled down off the Blaze.com, a website put up by the aforementioned Glenn Beck, who looked at Sarah Palin like she was a complete idiot, but somehow managed to bite his tongue during that interview. I should have recorded that interview for posterity, because you know Fox News has buried that thing. Anyway, the story I pulled down from the Blaze, Senator Dianne Feinstein has made some rather incredible claims. Now, we all know that she is at the forefront, at the vanguard, the tip of the spear in the gun control, gun confiscation push that the Democrats have put on there at the federal government. Well, the Blaze reports, while pushing a ban on high-capacity magazines, Dianne Feinstein argued that it is, quote, legal to hunt humans with 15-round, 30-round, even 150-round magazines, unquote. That she said it's legal to hunt humans. Now, I know, isn't she from California? Last time I was out there, I don't recall that they had legalized the hunting of humans. Well, with any size magazine. And I've never heard of a 150-round magazine, Ms. Feinstein. And I probably know maybe as much about guns as you do, maybe not. But I think when you get up over the 100 rounds, you pretty much always use a drum, which is what Dianne Feinstein needs to be beaten like. A drum. Insane woman. Here's a quote from her. I do my best Dianne Feinstein with a sore throat. The time has come, America, to step up and ban these weapons. Every other very important, it's a very important part of this bill is to ban large capacity ammunition feeding devices. I said large capacity ammunition feeding devices, and I said that because I am an expert when it comes to guns and ammunition feeding devices. And I'm talking about those that hold more than 10 rounds. We have federal regulations and state laws that prohibit hunting ducks with more than 3 rounds. And yet, it's legal to hunt humans with 15, 30, even 150-round magazines. Limiting magazine capacity is critical because it is when a criminal, a drug dealer, a deranged individual has to pause to change magazines and reload that the police or a brave, unarmed bystander would have the opportunity to take that individual down. You see, it's when they have to stop and reload their magazines, their high-capacity ammunition feeding devices. That's when you take them down, you see. Unquote. During the same hearing there at the prestigious Senate, she also argued that military veterans should be prevented from buying the semi-automatic weapons that she would ban in her bill. Apparently, she thinks that military veterans are a gross threat to her person and her personal well-being and possibly to her self-esteem.
Is she from New York?
She's from New York, and she's a lawyer. Yeah. But I believe she serves, what's the name of that insane area just north of San Francisco? I can't remember. I can't remember. Mendocino County, Cupertino County, I can't remember. Anyway, it's where all the leftists go to get old and fester together. All right, speaking of getting old and festering even, is that a word, festering? I believe it is. The Queen of England has determined, according to the Daily Mail, the Queen has determined to back an historic pledge to promote homosexuals and gender equality, for good measure, in one of the most controversial acts of her reign, according to the Daily Mail. In a live television broadcast coming this very week, the Queen of England herself will sign a new charter designed to stamp out discrimination against homosexual people and promote the empowerment of women. Now, I'm
You're
not...
unbelievable.
Oh, no. That's it?
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, I know. It's the Queen of England, for crying out loud. Well, you could have let that roll a little more. That kind of caught me off guard. The Queen's going to go on TV, and she's going to stamp out discrimination against homosexuals and promote the empowerment of women. I'm not sure how normal women feel about being lumped in with the queers like this by the Queen of England, of all people. That's got to be disconcerting for women. How do you feel about that? The Queen is...
You're unbelievable.
There we go. The Queen of England lumping in all the women with the queers. My extremely attractive audio engineer is not appreciative of it. Apparently, the Queen's speech is part of a new drive to boost human rights and living standards across the Commonwealth. As we all know, living standards are directly related to one's ability to legally sodomize one's neighbor, so we really appreciate the Queen's efforts. Now, the Queen, you'll remember, had been in hospital for treatment of a stomach bug. Is that homo code language for something that they do, a stomach bug? I wouldn't be using that kind of terminology. Insiders close to the Queen say that this is a watershed moment. Which that may be a code word there for something they do in bars and stuff, a watershed moment. They'll look that up. They need to be careful about the kind of lingo they use in these articles when they're talking about homosexuals. And she is the Queen, after all. That's right. She's the Queen. Someone told me that they didn't realize that the band Queen, they didn't realize the lead singer was a homo. Somebody told me that the other day, and I didn't believe them. I said the name of the band was Queen. I mean, come on. No, he honestly didn't know. And he found out later, and he was quite dispirited about the whole thing, as we all were. Let's see, the watershed moment, stomach bug, where are we here? We have some quotes from the forthcoming speech of the Queen of England. She says, "We are implacably opposed to all forms of discrimination, whether rooted in gender, race, color, creed, political belief, or other grounds." Unquote. That's the Queen. Her staff says the other grounds. That you heard that? Other grounds. She, we are implacably opposed to all forms of discrimination. Gender, race, color, creed, political belief, or other grounds. They say other grounds is intended to refer to homosexuals. Other grounds. Maybe that's a code word for something they do in bars. I don't know what's going on with this article. But she was going to specifically mention homosexuals, but that was omitted in deference to Commonwealth countries, according to the Daily Mail. It was omitted in deference to Commonwealth countries with draconian anti-gay laws. Draconian. You remember Draco, yes. He hated homosexuals. So anyway, they wouldn't let her actually stand up and utter the word homosexuals, queers, gays, LGBT, trannies. She wasn't allowed to say any of that because, I mean, it's the Queen of England for crying out loud. She has to maintain some dignity. And probably she was cajoled into going along with this by the powerful and never-resting homosexual lobby that is extremely powerful and has now co-opted even the Queen of England. It's embarrassing. At one time, the British Empire represented the apex of Western civilization, and now it is somewhere circling the perigee. Okay, yes, you can look it up. We're back. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. So glad to have you along. She is a handsome woman, is she not? The Queen of England. All right. Now, moving from the Queen of England, let's move on to America's first gay black president, Bill Clinton. No, wait a minute. I think he was just the first black president.
Yeah.
Although...
He's not gay.
No, certainly not. No. That's... If there's one thing we know about Bubba Bill Jeff Clinton, is that boy ain't queer. All right? I mean, he's just an old-fashioned sinner. All right? That's all. Which isn't a good thing, don't get me wrong. But anyway, Bill Clinton has written an article in the Washington Post, as you can well imagine. And the headline is, "It's Time to Overturn DOMA." DOMA is the Defense of Marriage Act that Bill Clinton signed while the president of these United States of America. But now Bill has come out and he's written an article saying, quote, "In 1996, I signed the Defense of Marriage Act while I was actively molesting Monica Lewinsky." No, I'm not kidding, man. Right there in the same room, that very desk. I'm not kidding, all right? But I signed it, okay? Now, although that was only 17 years ago, it was a very different time. Now, on March 27th, DOMA will come before the Supreme Court, and the justices must decide whether it is consistent with the principles of a nation that honors freedom, equality, and justice above all, and is therefore constitutional. Well, as the president who signed that act into law, and you would not believe what was going on, that very desk, I'm talking the very same room. As the president who signed that act into law, I have come to believe that DOMA is contrary to those principles. In fact, I believe it is incompatible with our Constitution, because Section 3 of the Act defines marriage as between one man and one woman. Same-sex couples are denied benefits. Are denied the benefits of more than 1,000 federal statutes and programs. And ladies and gentlemen, we all know that our happiness and our well-being is defined by what government benefits we have access to. And I want to make sure, first of all, the whole one man, one woman thing, I kind of always had a problem with that. Not that I was gay or anything, but you know what I'm saying. I just thought that was a little bit restrictive. But now that, you know, now I'm for just everybody. Anything goes, man. I mean, just let it rip. Anything goes. I mean, for crying out loud, it's 2013. I mean, forget the interns, man. I mean, let the good times roll, people. Golly. Americans have been at this sort of crossroads often enough to recognize the right path. That's right, America. We're down at the crossroads, and we've been here before. And I say we go ahead and sign that contract with that fine-looking gentleman with the pinky ring standing there at the crossroads. He's going to put us on the right path. I want to mention that in the midst of the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln concluded a message to Congress by posing the very question we face today on this problematic question of one man and one woman and that, and all the problems that has caused. I mean, me personally, but I mean lots of people. Abraham Lincoln said, quote, "It is not a question of can any of us imagine better." But Mr. Lincoln said, "But can we all do better?" And I remember the first time I read that, and I looked over at Hillary, and I thought, can't I do better? Golly. In that spirit, ladies and gentlemen, I join with the Obama administration in urging the Supreme Court to overturn the Defense of Marriage Act and free us and liberate us from the restrictions of this whole one man, one woman. Whoever came up with that anyways? Unquote. That was Bill Clinton in the Washington Post editorial from Mr. Clinton himself regarding his proclivities and whatnot. All right, I have to take a drink of water because doing Bubba is a strain on the throat, I can tell you that. All right, now let's go from Bubba Bill Jeff Clinton and the fruit of his tenure As President of the United States, the impact and influence that Bill Clinton exerted all over the world. And we go to LifeSite News from London. A Freedom of Information Request Act shows that over 4,500 minors committed over 5,000 sexual offenses over a three-year period from 2009 to 2012. Pornography, says LifeSite News, has turned more than 4,500 British children, some of them as young as 5 years old, into sexual offenders. And by the way, that's not according to LifeSite News. That's according to a United Kingdom-based child welfare charity who studies this sort of thing. I have a quote here from Patrick Truman, a former federal prosecutor in the Ronald Reagan administration and the president of Morality and Media. He says, child on child, well, I can't even read that. I can't say that. Sexual crime amongst, between, and committed by children is a growing problem, he says, in every culture where pornography flourishes. Children act out what they see. And if they see acts of love and charity, they will mimic those. But when they see acts of deviance and violence, domination, and other similar acts so commonly depicted in modern-day pornography, as today's children do see, they will act out those as well. And apparently in the United Kingdom, they have well-documented kids as young as 5 years old. This report from Britain joins an accumulating mound of heart-wrenching stories showing how pornography has permanently scarred children around the world. Iceland is actually considering banning pornography because of the documented harm it inflicts on women and children. thank you, Mr. Clinton, for your influence over the last 25 years on the world. The fruits of your labor are being well documented. Very disturbing. And that article doesn't even bring up the damage that pornography does to adult men and their marriages. It's corrosive. It should be illegal. An act should be, a law should be enacted declaring that pornography is illegal. And after that, if anybody decides to peddle that filth, they should be tried. And if convicted, they should be put to death, in my opinion. And my extremely attractive audio engineer gives a hearty thumbs up. Thank you very much. All right, now we go to reason number 672 to keep your children out of the government schools. We go to Riverside, California from the San Francisco Chronicle. A Southern California school board member convicted of running a prostitution ring in his home has been sentenced to 14 years and 4 months in prison, just for good measure. 14 years and 4 months. 42-year-old Mike Rios, a member of the school board, has been officially removed from the Moreno Valley School Board after being sentenced last Friday. Rios testified that he was running a legitimate dance business and maintained that he did nothing wrong. Anyway, he's been convicted of... Well, he was a pimp, okay, not to put too fine a point on it. And he sat there on the school board. Why? Because he cared about children. And he cared about education. And, he cared about grooming his future clients, frankly. And I'm sure he was doing a good job of it there at the Moreno Valley School Board out there in California. That's reason number 672 to keep your children out of the government schools. And now, reason 673 to keep your children out of the government schools. Nearly 80% of New York City. I tell you what. Actually, I'm just dosed up on vitamin C. That's all. That's all it is. But I'm having trouble. Reason number 673 to keep your children out of the government schools. Nearly 80% of New York City high school graduates need to relearn basic skills before they can enter the city's university community college system. That's right. They have to take remedial English, writing, spelling, because they can't read. And so they get to community college, and the professors at community college realize that the children cannot read. And so they set up a remedial. This has been going on for 30 years. According to CBS in New York, these children are part of a disturbing statistic. In sheer numbers, it means that nearly 11,000 kids who received diplomas from New York City high schools actually needed remedial courses to relearn the basics. And we're talking about reading, writing, and arithmetic. As far as film, acting, condom positioning, they have all that down. They don't have to relearn any of that. It's the three R's that they have a problem with. And that's reason number 673 to keep your kids home. I'm your host, sitting here with my extremely attractive audio engineer. So happy to be with you this week. Let's see, so we go from, that was kids who can't read in New York City schools. That's reason 673. So the not reading, that's a secondary thing. It's all the other the deceitful lies that your children are fed in the government schools. That's the primary reason. Yeah, and the pimps on the school board. That's another good reason to keep your kids at home. Now we go to, where are we going here? To Reuters. According to Reuters, Canadian pop singer Carly Rae Jepsen has pulled out of a concert for the Boy Scouts of America because of the organization's ban on homosexuals molesting boys in tents. Yes, the Boy Scouts stand against that. But Carly Rae Jepsen, who is a Canadian pop singer, are we familiar with this young lady? I remember Carly Simon, but that she wouldn't. They say this one's 27 years old, so that can't be the same person. Carly Rae Jepsen has a giant mega hit. Apparently, she has a song that was nominated for Grammy Song of the Year, and she said on Twitter last week that she would not perform for the Boy Scouts because of her support for Scoutmasters sodomizing boys in tents. I mean, that's what I'm left to interpret. She says she supports gay rights. And in fact, I believe we have her tweet. Quote, this is Carly Rae Jepsen, who's apparently a megastar. She says, quote, I always have and will continue to support the LGBT community on a global level. Unquote. The ignorant child tweeted. She's 27 years old. Okay. So Carly Rae Jepsen has pulled out. She was going to do this concert for the Boy Scouts of America. That just begs the question in my mind. Who was it at the Boy Scouts of America who thought having this slut dress up like a prostitute and strut around in front of 30,000 Boy Scouts and their dads, who thought that was a good idea? I mean, who's running the Boy Scouts for crying out loud? That's what disturbs me, first of all. Jepsen, according to the Reuters article, had been targeted by the advocacy group GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. They circulated an online petition asking the singer to denounce the Boy Scouts policy, and that petition had gathered more than 60,000 signatures from other ignorant children, like pop singer Carly Rae Jepsen. We have a quote from the Boy Scouts spokesman Darren Smith. He says, quote, "We appreciate everyone's right to express an opinion, and we remain focused on delivering a great jamboree program for all the Scouts." All right. Okay, Darren, whatever your name is. You know, when someone advocates criminal activity, that's more than an opinion. You're obviously not qualified to run the Boy Scouts or to be a spokesman for the Boy Scouts or to even go camping or tie knots or do any of that stuff. If you can't figure out how to draw the line between someone voicing an opinion and someone advocating criminal behavior, which is what support for open homosexuality is. It is the advocacy of criminal behavior. And the leader, well, the Boy Scouts, they've gone to hell in a handbasket. You might as well put a fork in the Boy Scouts. They're done. Yeah, just forget about it. Keep your kids out of the government schools and keep your kids out of the Boy Scouts. I am officially off the Boy Scouts bandwagon as of now. I will not attend the jamboree. I mean, who should? When I think of a Boy Scouts jamboree, I'm thinking like Roy Clark should be playing, right? I don't know. But we've degenerated to the point now where I think Adam Carolla and Kid Rock are considered conservatives. And so who can tell anymore? Everybody's so confused. And just let me point out that Adam Carolla and Kid Rock, they're not conservatives, okay? They're not. Please, stop it with that. Just because they hate Barack Obama doesn't mean they're conservatives. All right. Meanwhile, while the Boy Scouts circle the drain, we have a story. Do I want to do this story? In Florida, a representative there is working to get a bill to the House floor there at the state legislature. The bill would prohibit, quote, knowing use of a computer or other device to transmit or post any photograph or video of an individual which depicts nudity and contains specified information relating to the depicted individual without first obtaining the depicted person's written consent. Did you get all that? Okay, apparently, according to this article from WTSP down in Florida, posting consensually obtained nude photographs is currently not illegal. Okay, so there's the problem right there. Instead of having to put a bill that focuses on, what did we have here? Computers, devices, photo, video, individual, nudity, specified information, depicted individual without first obtained. How about just making posting nudity illegal? How about that? We could cut out all the lawyers. And we could just say, you know what, you're not allowed to post naked pictures on the internet. How about that? Let's make it a felony. First offense, you get a good beating, all right? Anyway, but that's not the case. We have a number of lawyers working for Republicans down in Florida who want to make sure that the depicted individual first gives consent to the non-depictor and or the poster, possibly being the postee. This is Representative Tom Goodson. He's working hard for you and your children. He says he is not trying to take a moral stand. Okay. Mr. Goodson, we recognize that the minute we read the title and description of your bill. We realize you're not trying to take a moral stand. You really didn't have to reiterate that. It was fairly obvious. He says, quote, "I'm not trying to address the nude picture issue. No. I'm trying to address that if you're doing this to hurt a person, if you're doing this for malice, I say, that's where you're breaking the law." Unquote. That's wisdom from Representative Tom Goodson down in Florida. Well, what can you say? Obviously, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not, what are they called there? I'm not a legislator, so I have no expertise in these areas. But me, I would just outlaw pornography and posting nudity. 2-3 lines, you know, and then get on with what the punishments are for those various crimes that are corrosive. And I am trying to take a moral stand. I just want to make that clear. Representative Goodson is not trying, but I am trying as best I can. And I hope that you'll try with me, because if you don't, the whole country is headed for flames and destruction. Okay. probably starting right there in Florida, you know, with what's going on down there in that madhouse. All right. Let me stop and take another drink of water. Oh, yeah. Let's go to the war file. While you were sleeping, the son-in-law of Osama bin Laden was captured in Turkey. I didn't hear about it either until he showed up in court. It was kind of weird, you know. You have one guy up there for a red light violation. Another guy had a bad taillight. Next in line, Osama bin Laden's brother-in-law. Right there in the courthouse. He pled not guilty this past Friday in a civilian court in New York City in the shadow of the former World Trade Center. He has pled not guilty, by the way, to plotting to kill Americans. His name is Abu Ghaith. Abu Ghaith. I'm not sure what his name is Abu. Let's just call him Abu. He was captured February 28th, allegedly, overseas. And he was flown to New York the following day and rushed into court. They got him a sport coat, and they got him into court just in, you know, one of those little skull caps, and they got him in court just as soon as they could. They may or may not have trimmed his beard. They may or may not have raked the lice out of his beard before his court appearance, but they had him looking sharp there. Jordanian sources over there in, that would be in Jordan, they claim that Abu Ghaith was captured by Turkish officials in Ankara, Turkey. You know, you just got to wonder, why did this guy leave Iran and go to Turkey? It's kind of a weird story that I sincerely do not understand. Iran had been sheltering this guy for the better part of a decade. And maybe he got homesick, or they didn't have any good hummus in Iran, and he had to go to Turkey. This is a very strange story. It was very weird to me to watch on television that son-in-law, for crying out loud. Vitamin C is more potent than you might imagine. He's the son-in-law, which means he was married to one of Osama bin Laden's daughters, right? Because they don't allow same-sex marriage in Kuwait or Jordan or Turkey or Pakistan or any of the other countries where Mr. Abu might have been. So I'm pretty sure he was married to one of Osama's daughters and not to one of Osama's sons. Dianne Feinstein, the California Democrat, she chairs the Intelligence Committee. Sit and just think about that for 5 seconds. That make you want to go out and buy an AK-47. Dianne Feinstein chairs the Intelligence Committee. Oh, everything's going to be fine. She's obviously very well-versed in intelligence, military, and things of that nature. Make sure that everyone at the CIA has access to family planning, birth control, and abortion on demand. But she had something to say. I apologize. She said she expected that Abu Ghaith would be put away for life. That's what she says. This is the guy who on September 12th sat there in a video next to Osama bin Laden and warned us that the hellfire and destruction was about to come down upon us. And she says she expects he'll be put away for life. She says, quote, "The bottom line is that the federal criminal court system works. Shut up. It works. Watch. We're going to put him away for life. For life. I'll do it myself. I'm a lawyer." Still don't know why Abu left Iran to go to Turkey. I suppose I'll ponder that over the next few weeks as the trial unfolds. Was there anything else in here that I wanted to... Republicans are upset that they were not consulted. They think that this fellow should have gone to Guantanamo Bay, at which point Barack Obama and Eric Holder looked at the Republicans and said, why do we care what you guys think? You guys are a joke. We do whatever we want. Get out of here. Slapped him. Went along with whatever they want to do. All right. In the meantime, Kim Jong-un says that he's abandoned his peace treaty with South Korea and vows to attack the South. And he's promising all-out war. I do believe. Yes, all-out war. This is from the Daily Mail. The Unsecurity Council recently voted to impose a fresh round of sanctions targeting North Korea's economy and leadership. That's interesting how they can do that. I'm not sure how they can do that. I think whenever they, over at the UN Security Council, when they vote for these sanctions, what they're really voting to do is starve more Korean women and children. That's what they're really voting to do. But they say they're going to prevent or curtail the North Korean nuclear program. UN Ambassador UN Susan Rice. Wait a minute, that's got to be a typo. Oh, U.S. Ambassador to the UN Susan Rice. She's not UN Susan Rice. UN Susan Rice says North Korea will achieve nothing by continued threats and provocations. This will only further isolate the country and its people and undermine international efforts to promote peace. 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 She says when North Korea tries to move money to pay for its nuclear and ballistic missile programs, countries must now block those transfers even if the money is being carried in suitcases full of cash. That's right. The UN Security Council and UN Susan Rice say they can stop even suitcases of cash. They've really got the Koreans where they want them now. View, and I'm Doug McBurney. And that's Greg Bissonette and Mr. Big and the boys. They're going out to whoever it was. Say what? That goes out to whoever it was who sent me the email requesting Mr. Big. I want to thank you. My extremely attractive audio engineer wants to thank you for that request, as we don't get an opportunity to play a whole lot of Greg and the Boys. All right. Now, from the Beam Me Up, Scotty file, again from CNSNews.com. I highly recommend CNS News, by the way. I believe it's the Cyber News Service. Anyway, CNSNews.com. Check them out. You get a lot of good news there. And you can also make a donation to support them because they're not a bunch of communists like the people at NPR. They say that the State Department, that's the United States of America State Department website, features travel information for queers. They say gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered individuals, including advice on getting a temporary passport if you are a transgender in transition. That's right. Now, the website says, quote, in order to have the passport issued in your new gender, you must submit a physician certificate with your application that validates whether your gender transition is in process or complete. I think you can check the box, in process or complete. If a physician certifies that your transition is in process, you are eligible for a limited validity 2-year passport. Of course, you know, because you're going to be, well, transitioning. If a physician certifies that your transition is complete, well, you are eligible for a full validity 10-year passport in any of the major officially recognized genders. That's right, lesbian, gay, transgendered, questioning, bisexual, or just waiting to see who comes along next. Those are the major genders. There were no checkboxes for male or female. In any event, wait a second here. The State Department says the passport photo submitted with your application must accurately reflect your current appearance. It's just... Now, folks, I did not, unlike the song that Russ wrote and stuff that I make up all the time, I'm not making this up. This is from the State Department website. The State Department website also warns that some countries consider homosexuality a crime. Oh, no. Yes. They say before choosing one's international destination, LGBT travelers should carefully consider the laws and biases of their international destination and decide how open one can be regarding one's orientation or gender identity. Unquote. Translated, don't go to Saudi Arabia. Okay? Avoid excessive physical displays of affection in public, particularly in more conservative countries or regions. And then they have a list of recommendations entitled While You're There, which you can click. And it points everyone to Thailand for some reason. I don't know what's going on with that. Traveler. Oh, they say on the website, travelers who have HIV or AIDS, they are our number one constituency, obviously. The State Department, the demographic for which they for whom they have the most concern, of course, is travelers with HIV and AIDS, and they're directed to a Bureau of Consular Affairs website for information on restrictions for traveling abroad. Links on the site include two fact sheets from the State Department and the White House where accomplishments on gay rights by the Obama administration are detailed in full. So, pretty much full service if you're a deviant, pervert, garden variety, sodomite, and you want to travel around the world to, well, just share your philosophy with various people. All right. From the politics file, this is from the New York Post. On February 25th, the Transportation Security Administration's Special Operations Team staged a mock intrusion at the Newark airport. They had a bomber. Now, he wasn't a real bomber. This was a training exercise. But the bomber posed as a ticketed passenger and filed through the checkpoint of Terminal B right there at Newark Airport. He got through the magnetometer undetected at about 11 a.m. He was then pulled aside for physical screening, the ever-popular physical screening at Newark Airport, and the hapless TS agent there failed to discover the improvised explosive device that the bomber was carrying, and the bomber went happily off to his gate. Only one member of the TSA's terror team was stopped at the checkpoint. That was a female agent who was carrying a simulated IED inside her carry-on. That IED was stuffed inside a child's doll and had wires sticking out of it so that it looked fairly obviously suspicious. And that one was caught, just so you know. Now, in a fine example of irony, the Transportation Security Administration has declared that it will now allow travelers to carry non-locking knives onto planes. Caveat there, the knife blade must be 2.36 inches in length or less. 2.36. Do you know why it's 2.36? Because there's 50 or 60 people whose patronage job depended on coming to that particular formulation for knife blades, and they had meetings and spreadsheets, and they had to go to Vegas for one weekend and have a conference, and they finally came down and said, 2.36 inches is where we're going to draw the line, and why not? We can't stop bombs from getting through. We might as well at least allow people to have a pocket knife so that maybe they can jam it 2.36 inches into the terrorist's neck when he goes to set off his bomb. Anyway, if there was ever an agency that in 1 week has proved its utter incompetence and uselessness, it has been the TSA this week. They can't stop a bomb, and they're going to allow knives back on planes. Could you all please resign and go back to Burger King, where you came from?
Yeah.
All right, that's about enough of that. My extremely attractive audio engineer, once again, inserting herself into the broadcasts uninvited. But that was all right. Okay, I really don't have much else. I have from Colorado Springs, Colorado, CBS News down there, a company that does drug testing is now being called on a weekly basis to test students in one Colorado school district instead of monthly. And they say it's not just that more students are getting high. They say it's not just because there's more students, but it appears that more students are using pot more often. Mm. Shock. No way. I know. Who could have ever thunk that that would happen? Who would have thought that? I mean, all we did was legalize dope in Colorado, and now the kid. But you know what? It was not legalized for kids in school. Oh. Not following the rules. I have a quote from a couple. One high school student says, quote, "I've seen a lot more people just walking down the street smoking joints, man." Another student says, "In high school, the pot, it's really gotten out of hand." Those are two high school students in Colorado. Anyway, so Colorado legalizes marijuana, and shockingly enough, there's more high school students are smoking dope. The thing is, folks, is the law is the great teacher, and if the law tells kids that things are okay, even if it says it's not okay until you're 21, kids have the perception now that it's okay, and more kids are going to experiment, and more kids are going to be destroyed. And the people who push the passage of the legalization of marijuana, they should be rounded up and put into prison and probably beaten at the very minimum. At the very minimum, they should be rounded up and beaten, and quite possibly worse, because this is just the beginning. And you don't have to be a prophet to realize that. It's the same thing with homosexuality. You teach kids that it's normal and it's good, well, more kids are going to get seduced and more kids are going to be destroyed. And all of you who advocate it because you're so nice and loving people, you're going to be held to account for it, you deviant pervert scum. And I say that in Christian love, by the way. All right, finally, from the religion file, and I wasn't sure whether to put this in the bad religion or the good religion file, but from Reuters, a Finnish toilet paper maker has removed quotes from the Bible from their toilet paper. Some of the quotes included the words of Jesus, and the quotes were inadvertently placed on its toilet rolls. There was complaints from church leaders. Let's see here. The company's toilet rolls regularly feature witty quotes, poetry, or philosophical messages. A spokesperson for the Finnish toilet paper company says, "Well, you know, people like to read small happy messages while they're sitting on the toilet." Unquote. And of course, nobody can argue with that. Apparently, the company Metsä Tissue was trying to convey messages about love, but accidentally included lines from the Gospel of Matthew and 1 Corinthians on toilet paper sold in Norway, Denmark, and Sweden. That's probably the first scripture that's been smuggled into Norway, Denmark, and Sweden in a generation. It was an accident. The vast majority of the feedback, the company says, has been positive to their traditional witty quotes, poetry, and philosophy. They say our intention was to spread love and joy, not religious messages. That was all a mistake. Well, the bishop of Tunsberg in Norway was not amused and filed some sort of complaint, and now the offending verses have been pulled. And I'm just not sure. I don't know. You know, I can see that the folks at the Finnish toilet paper company, they probably didn't recognize the Bible when they saw it. How are you going to recognize a Bible in Finland when there hasn't been a Bible opened in Finland in three generations? They were probably what are looking for verses like cleanliness is next to godliness. That they might have thought that was a Bible verse. Or maybe follow your heart. Ooh, is that a Bible verse? We better. How about give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day, but teach a man to fish and he'll eat for a lifetime. See, if they would have saw quotes like that, they probably would have. But what they saw was actual scriptures, and they didn't know what to do, and I don't know. I think any way you can get Bible verses into Europe is probably a good thing. So I'm not going to get too mad at these guys for the whole toilet paper situation. All right. That's it, folks. I'm Doug McBurney. This has been the Weekly Worldview. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com, TheologyOnline.com, Denver Bible Church, American Right to Life, and Personhood USA. Should the Lord tarry, I'll return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.